Хөрхөн охид trap songs trap songs trap songs trap songs trap songs. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дагаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new NBA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Greg Romero Wilson and Gabe Killian. Gabe, your dog's peeing on everything. Yeah, he's peeing on all my dog stuff. Take him. So, Gabe's like, can I bring my dog? I'm like, sure. I didn't realize he wasn't trained. But what else? What else is new?
Yeah, it's okay. Just excited, huh?
It's all good. Ah, man. So,
good, man. How are you?
The baby.
Back on the MMA Roasted.
The baby's sleeping.
Good. That's good. All the way through the night now?
No, right now.
Oh, right now.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
I tried to tire her out. I've been going to, I went to those Mommy and Me classes.
Uh-huh.
I'm like the only guy, but I'm like.
Well, this is called Mommy and Me.
Pretty much. Well, it's not Mommy and Me. One's called like Play.
Right,
the other
exactly,
one's called something
exactly.
else. But yeah.
But it's mostly women and you.
Yeah, it's mostly like either nannies or moms.
Right.
And then I come and it's a lot of fun, actually. Like, I'm like, I feel like I'm doing my whole youth over again with the baby. I mean, she's like learning how to play the drums and we're doing like head, shoulders, knees and toes and singing and like building and like
it's great for you.
I love it. The only thing is that like I got kind of mad because these little like fake blocks, building blocks, this little 2-year-old came and was taking the blocks for the whole class. And I was like, dude, you gotta share the blocks with my little like I'm like ready to fight like a 2-year-old.
Like, so whose 2-year-old is this? I'll fight your dad.
Well, I look over. The nanny was, like,
mom.
On her, like, phone.
Right. She doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. And the kid was out of control.
There's always those ruining it for the rest.
Kids are so cute. They come over and just start hugging me. These random kids. These random babies.
Well, they really don't know anything.
No. So that was cool. And then... shows. I had a great show on Saturday night. First of all, I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, people. Marijuana is legal. What? No, you want to, you put it in the backyard. Marijuana is legal in California, completely legal in California. Make sure the dog doesn't go in the pool, though. I don't want them to fall in the pool. It's legal in California. You can get it delivered right to your home. Okay, they will take care of it. They got THC sex lube. They got edibles. They got marijuana, beef jerky, all kinds of weed, all kinds of CBD. Just go to speedweed.com. Follow them at Speedweed. Mention Roasted. It's $10 off, $100 or more. So that was a...
Let me ask you this. Listen, you know me. Huge stoner, huge supporter of Speedweed.
Yeah.
But CBD...
Yes.
It's very popular right now. It's a huge craze.
Yeah.
CBD, it heals everything. It's a miracle drug, if you can feel it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know. It does your taxes for you.
Yeah, it'll do anything. It'll grease your wheels. It'll lower your cholesterol.
It'll bang your side chick.
It'll do everything. Exactly. It'll pick up your dry cleaning. It'll order Uber Eats for you.
Nobody even knows what it really is.
Nobody knows. And I've taken... Okay, the other day... I was doing a writing session with another comic. We were working on this pitch for a show. And we go to this coffee place. I just had a bunch of coffee.
Right.
So I didn't feel like coffee. So I'm looking. And the only thing they had in the drink case was like these CBD-infused water. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll get a CBD-infused water. You know, it's like, and of course, on the side, it's like relieves tension, smooth. And even, I think the name was even like ease or relax or breathe ease. So you know what I mean? Like this is going to calm you down. It's going to take, you know, it's going to allow you to work better, more focused. I'm like, okay, whatever. So I go up there, $12.
Yeah.
This CBD infused water was $12.
Right.
And I'm like, boy, this
should you take it?
This is better. Yeah. So I drank it. Nothing. You know what it was? Not great tasting water for $12.
Yeah. I mean, look, I take it now with like every meal. I have like CBD gummy bears.
Yeah.
Some
people swear by it.
Some people
swear by it. They're like, I didn't have to take any medicine after my surgery.
I think if you work out pretty hard,
yeah,
it helps you. It makes you not as sore and recover a little faster. But I've taken some of that CBD.
So what use would I have for it?
That's what I'm saying.
When I work out, but I work out like a fat kid. Like I'm just earning fast food credits.
Right.
I'm not trying to enhance experience with CBD.
Did I do the same thing? Like I will like work out. And then I reward myself by eating like a pint of Ben and Jerry's.
Right, exactly. That's what I do.
Which is like
it's
10
my own bit. I'm like, yeah.
10 times worse than if I hadn't worked out at all.
Exactly. I feel like you're break even. That's what I feel like.
I don't even think.
What
babe,
you
want to be on the podcast for a second? My wife always complains she's not on the podcast. Here you are. Here's your mic. You only got one shot.
Here she comes. Come on.
This is like 8 Mile.
If you only had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you've been asking for over and over again in the bedroom. Yeah. Would you take it?
Did you watch the bare knuckle boxing?
I did not.
It is the most brutal sport.
Is it on DAZN?
No, what's no. It was like...
it's just online or where?
Yeah, it was on pay-per-view. It was on Fight TV, okay. The app. It was first of all, Chris Lieben knocked it out in 12 seconds.
I heard about that.
Again, first was Baroni he killed.
Right.
This guy must have like bricks in his hands.
Yeah, he might. I mean, this isn't a highly regulated sport yet.
Dude,
he might have rolls of quarters in there. We don't know.
There was one fight that was kind of boring.
Right.
The guy kind of just like, he kind of boxed, you know?
Can I tell you, I was wondering, because I knew there were no UFC fights. I knew there were no Bellator fights. I was like, what are we going to fucking talk about? So there was the bare knuckle boxing.
Right? So one guy fight was kind of boring. The guy missed weight, right, by 3 pounds. But they didn't mention that. I mean, they didn't mention it, but... So after the fight, after the fight, the promoter comes in the ring and goes, listen, this is bare knuckle boxing and we don't accept fights like this. So we're taking away half his purse. I just took away half the guy's money because that was a boring fight. The guy ran the whole time, but it wasn't even like I've seen 10.
Clearly they put it somewhere in the contract that they could do that.
Yeah. Have you seen that? Bare knuckle boxing? They took away half
secondly,
the guy's purse?
I think that's great. Oh, yeah, that's right. If you're going to run around the whole ring and expect to get paid, no, yeah, fuck you.
He didn't. He
Your
wasn't really running around.
Stand there and take a beating.
He wasn't really running around.
Which fight was that?
In bare knuckle boxing. They took away half the guys. And the promoter, you got to see this guy. This guy like is straight from like New Jersey. Like all
the White
like
House.
What?
No.
Yeah, I'll play you this guy. I mean, look, I'm not a fan of what happened here because especially bare knuckle boxing, like these guys are putting their lives.
I would have to see the fight.
Were they like some randoms?
Well, yeah, they were kind of like randoms. But at the same time, you got to see this guy. Like this
was
guy.
There some girl that we know that fought in it? That
Rowdy Beck usually fights in it, but she didn't fight in this one.
Oh, okay. Was like trending that I think was
this guy.
The bare knuckle fighting championships, Mr. David Feldman.
Hey, Biloxi, you guys having fun tonight? Make some noise. Bare knuckle fighting championship is a brand new sport and a brand new company, and we're here for action. And we want action, and we demand action from the fighters. We didn't get action in that last fight because Rusty Crowder wanted to run. Therefore, he's given half his purse to Reggie Barnett. Make some noise, Biloxi. This is how we do it at Bare Knuckle. You fight or you don't get paid.
Okay, wait, but let's start here. It's not like he took half his purse away and kept it for himself. He gave it to the other fighter who tried to fight.
That's not, come on. We can't, that's ridiculous.
I mean, that's not in the contract, is it?
It has to be.
Really?
There's no way he could do it unless it were in the contract that they could do it.
That's crazy.
There must be some kind of like, you know, you must engage the other fighter. We have the right to reduce your purse. It must be in there. But, otherwise, there's no way he could do it.
But then why would you do that if you know you're going to get ducked 50%?
Maybe he thought he was doing just enough.
It doesn't seem right. Come on. That just seems a little strange. That's and funny. Then another girl came into the ring. Her dog.
Yeah, it's his dog. Well, he was going a little crazy and peeing and being a little...
I think as long as you have him on a leash in here, you can put... Is he barking?
He really wanted to...
It's up to you, Gabe. You could keep him in here. Just keep him on a leash.
A little wind. He'll be fine.
He thinks he's outside. You're just peeing. I don't know.
So why don't you keep him on a short leash?
All right.
He tried to control him. The dog was trying to attack me.
Yeah.
I can feel like...
All right. So then this other girl...
Poor guy's over here straight into
control. So then this other girl comes in the ring wearing this, right? This is what she wears. I heard she was 0-4 in MMA. I don't know. I tried to look up her record. It said 0-4. But then she had a better record. I don't know. I got to find out. So she walks into this girl. Her name is Puma.
Right, he's getting the windy dog.
Yeah, her name is Puma something. Puma, what is it?
Oh, yeah, he's out there crying. He must not be happy. All right.
Yeah. So her name is Puma Star.
Okay.
And she won.
Well, that definitely sounds like her birth name.
And she looked like a badass fighter, right? But she came in wearing this shirt. And bare knuckle boxing.
Oh, is that the one? Fuck. That's who I was thinking of. The fuck Hillary Clinton shirt.
Hillary Clinton is a cunt.
That's it. Yes.
Yeah. Like that. That's what she was wearing.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, listen. This is where our country's at, right? And think about if somebody had worn a shirt that said "fuck Trump." Like, they would have, I mean, they would have been just from every angle, social media, email, they would have been just flamed.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
People, everyone puts down Trump.
Absolutely. No, but I mean, but they're his followers go after people.
You're saying like in Louisiana?
Everywhere.
Or this was, no, this wasn't Louisiana. It was in a...
You attack him and they go after you. Whereas I bet, I mean, I'm sure she probably got some tweets too and everything, but I'm sure, I mean, what we're talking about is, you know, when someone attacks Trump, they get nothing but death threats and we know where you live. I'm showing up with a gun, like really aggressive, murderous threats.
Well, her shirt for the weigh-in was, I have no tits.
Well, listen, she's on brand. The truth is hers, so... Because I'm not going to say that the cunt shirt is wrong.
But her tits aren't even that bad. Like, she actually has decent boobs. I mean, they're not huge.
Listen, she has some little lady lumps.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, they're not like, you
know. They're not meat bags.
Yeah, she's not going to work at Hooters probably.
She's not smuggling grapefruit or cantaloupes in there. But
what, but babe, what are you doing?
This isn't free time. This is work.
This is MMA Roasted Podcast.
She goes, this is what you do with your free
time. I was at Hooters one time and the girl said, do you want a tiny box to go? And I said, yeah, yours. And
not good.
It was years ago before the Me Too era.
Exactly.
All right.
So, when a man could be a man. When a man could just say nasty shit.
I see, it was a joke. Come on.
Oh, yes, I get it. Listen, I'm on your side.
Yeah, of course.
You know what's interesting to me is the way the line of what Me Too has kind of moved. Have you noticed this?
What do you mean?
Well, it seems like it started as sexual assault.
Yeah.
Right? And girls came out with these stories that you were just mortified. You were like, Jesus Christ, we are horrible. This is fucking terrible. But then it became sexual harassment. You know? Like, okay, this guy wouldn't leave me alone. It's like, okay. But now it seems to be just, you're just uncomfortable.
Well, now it's like, when Joe Biden is smelling people's hair.
And they're like. Right. And they're like, me too. And it's like, is it? Is that a me too? Like, I feel like the line slid too far.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's rein it. I think we need to get clear about what a me too is. Because exactly, like, making you uncomfortable, like, we're all guilty. I mean, we were already all guilty. But I mean, we are super awkward.
First time I met Chelsea Handler. Actually, second time. I met her at Bruco. I had a really good set. And then she says to me, she's like, oh, you're really funny. She was very complimentary. It was sweet. Next time I see her, she goes, how big is your penis? Do you have a big penis? And I was like, nobody's complained. And she's like, okay. Like, I wasn't going to go like, file a fucking Me Too her, you know?
Right.
It threw me off.
But it is different, though. When we try and make that comparison.
It threw me off.
It's different for men than women. I mean, just because.
I don't know.
There's also a
fine line between flirting and being harassing.
Sometimes the difference between flirting and this new line of just being uncomfortable, the difference is whether or not she likes it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, if she thinks you're handsome and what, then it's flirting.
Exactly.
And if she doesn't, then now it's a Me Too. Like, let's go back to the original one of Me Too.
The guy who kissed Beyonce at the award show, like, on the forehead, and everyone's like, that's not okay. I'm like, come on. Like, he was just trying to be nice.
Exactly.
He wasn't trying to, like, cop a feel or something.
Right.
Anyway, it
has gotten awfully. It's a little blurry now.
It sucks because it's a legitimate movement, and women. Having a daughter, I'm like happy that she's now in a thing where like guys aren't going to go around and be like, oh, you want a part? Blow me.
Yeah.
You know. At the same time, it's like people sometimes ruin it for everybody because they just start.
Well,
you know?
And that's the thing, you know. But at the same time, it seems like we're moving forward. Then you have universities go and say, "Oh, you know what? You can report sexual assault, but you have to say it in front of your attacker."
Yeah. By the way, I wasn't saying
that's tough. That's a step back. Yeah. Like, if you want to go and report it now, you have to the person you're accusing of it gets to be in the room when you tell them your
story. It's so ridiculous. There was a guy There was a guy in my old building I used to live at that was going around threatening people with like a golf club or something.
Yeah.
So we called the cops, a security guard. And the cop was like, "Well, if you want to press charge, you have to show up tomorrow in court." I'm like, dude, I don't want him to know that I'm the one pressing charges. I go, listen, if you leave this guy alone,
exactly,
something bad's gonna happen. Well, we can't do anything. 2 hours later, he has a sword. He's running around the building. He had to get like smoked out of it. They had called the SWAT team.
Right.
All could have been prevented.
Yeah.
If that, you know.
And if you have to be the one to go down there and say, yeah, this motherfucker's being crazy, guess what? He's coming at you with that sword.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's why it's like, so on the one hand, it seems like the Me Too movement's a step forward. Then we have schools making these rules. That seems like a massive step backwards.
Yeah. And we also have like, by the way, with the Chelsea Handler thing, I honestly was kind of, it's kind of turned on by the whole thing. Anyway, all right, so here we go.
Well, it's like that thing with like a hot teacher. And like,
this know, is a lot easier with my wife not in the room.
Yeah. It's like when a teenage boy, you know, gets, you know, the hot teacher has sex with him and then she gets arrested for having rape with a kid. But, you know, we're all kind of looking at it like, I don't know, the kid looks pretty lucky right there.
Yeah, seriously, that never happened to me when I was in school.
I mean, maybe she's hot. I mean, what are you going to do?
Exactly. All right, so let's talk about fighting. This is a fighting podcast.
That's going to come back to haunt me very, very soon.
But all right, so Gabe, are you still doing the betting?
Yeah.
All right, so some
How's
odds.
How's it going? You've been winning or you've been losing?
It's been a good year.
Yeah?
He only tells you what he wins, this fucker.
Yeah. Well, first he has to come out of his hole in the ground.
This guy's the best.
He has to slither up.
All right, so the fights this week. All right, we got some great. I think this is the. I'm excited for this UFC. Of course, I have two shows. I'm not going to watch them. By the way, TJ Dillashaw show before that is getting 2 years suspension today for EPO.
What?
For EPO? Is it EPO or EPO?
EPO.
EPO, yeah, which is what I guess Lance Armstrong was taking.
Right.
Which is crazy because he got knocked out in 20 seconds. And that was the fight. Like, man.
EPO, no.
Yeah, EPO.
EPO doesn't work.
Yeah, right?
It worked for Lance Armstrong.
I mean,
I guess it's an endurance thing, but I guess not when you're getting punched in the face.
Yeah, I mean, Cejudo's not punching him in the face.
Yeah.
But it just shows you steroids don't work. Or they do work, but also like...
That's what gave him like... he has energy for days. Like, he never gets tired.
But do you think he was taking it before the Cody fights and...
I think he's been taking it for a long time, yeah.
Well, how did he get by before then, Gabe? Talk a little louder, by the way.
I think a lot of fighters are currently taking it and they're getting by.
EPO?
Stuff like certain things stay in your system only for 24 hours and it's easy to get away with it.
So how did he get caught?
I guess it's...
Random testing? They just caught him?
That window, yeah. The 24-hour window or whatever.
So Cody Garbrandt responded to...
How long, what's his name, got away with it? I mean...
Who?
The guy, the cyclist.
Oh, Armstrong?
Armstrong. I mean, hey, easy. I mean, they had, you know...
Uh-oh. Go on.
They had seven, you know, I mean, he won 7 Tour de France's.
Yeah, but...
Passed all the drug tests. And really, ultimately, he would have been like Barry Bonds. He ultimately would have gotten away with it if after, like, for some reason, 7 years later, he decided to go on Oprah and said he did it, which I think was stupid.
Well, the difference, though, is that he's not actually punching people in the face, you know, and not hurting people. Like, I think steroids is so different in MMA than it is in...
Right,
even baseball.
It's a combat sport.
Yeah, because you could kill somebody.
Right, all the other guys are doing are crushing baseballs.
Yeah, or riding a bike or something, you know? So Cody No Love put, test all his samples. I bet for a fact more EPO pops up. TJ Dillashaw is a coward. TJ, call me when that suspension's up, scumbag. So that's what Garbrandt said. I mean, Garbrandt has a right. He got knocked out twice by the guy.
I was going to say, I mean, these are guys that got beat by a guy that now is juiced, so...
And you can honestly say that had he not lost TJ Dillashaw... Because he was on that, his career might have been way different. He might still be the champion because his last fight, he got knocked out by... who did he get knocked out by?
Pedro Munhoz.
But, you know, it's like, had he won those fights, maybe he doesn't even fight Pedro Munhoz. And he doesn't fight like that and everything else. It's crazy.
You know what, that's the thing about cheating, though. You only have to get away with it. Like, once you get caught, it's like the money goes back. The pay-per-view monies don't go back. I'm sure he isn't going to refund the UFC, you know? So it's like...
Yeah, but that 2 year suspension. I mean, look, he's obviously been paid very well, has monster endorsements, probably has enough money for life at this point. I would assume if he lives well.
What is he like, 32?
32. He could always be a wrestling coach or something or whatever.
Yeah, open a gym.
But, I mean, he's not making, I would assume he has enough. I don't know. He only defended his title once, but he probably has made $1 million at least, north of a million, right?
He's made several million, I'd say.
Several million?
Yeah.
Talk louder, by the way, because people are not going to be able to hear you on the thing.
Yeah, because he's been in a few title fights.
So, yeah, but 2 years off is a long time to not work. You know?
It is.
That's a long time. I mean, for us, 2 weeks fucks us up.
Yeah, that's true. No, absolutely.
All right, so What are the odds? Holloway's got to be a 3-1 favorite over Poirier, right?
He's like -2 something.
-2 something?
Yeah.
Now, who are you betting on?
I'm not betting that fight.
Why?
Because I think Holloway is going to win, but I don't think there's value in him to make a bet. If he was the underdog, I would have made a bet.
Do you usually bet the over or the under or go 5 rounds or do that in those?
Just wherever I see value in terms of what I think the line should be and what it actually is.
So how much money do you think you've made in betting combat sports, betting UFC?
Lifetime, I don't know, but this year I've been keeping track. I'm up 25 grand.
Not bad.
Well, how far are you down? Like, you may want 25, but how much did you lose?
Now, do you bet on, and by the way, whoever bet on basketball last night, that must have been brutal. A Texas Tech game?
I don't know. I didn't see the spread, but
Oh, my God. They were up by 3 with like 10 seconds left, and they gave up that 3-pointer.
Yep.
And then people.
But they didn't want to, you know, obviously they saw the foul thing that happened with Virginia in the previous game, so they didn't want to foul him.
Yeah.
You know, so they let him take the shots, and he hit it.
So what's Gastelum Israel? Who's the favorite?
Israel Adesanya is the favorite.
By how much?
He's like -2 something.
That's like similar odds, yeah. You gonna bet Gastelum?
My pick for that fight is
Israel.
I have a VIP pick for that fight. I sell my picks online, and I'm giving out like a premium pick for that one.
Oh, so you can't tell us?
Yeah.
Oh, what it could have.
Okay, so forgetting the line, then who do you think's gonna win the fight?
I can't give my prediction for that.
Oh, what kind of public? What are you?
No, because that's not against.
People are paying for that.
How much do I have to pay to get your VIP pick?
It's 55 a week.
55. How many customers do you have?
I have a lot of them.
Like over 50?
Just under.
Just under 50?
Yeah.
So you're making good money.
Yeah.
You're making more doing that than you are betting.
So you're making what, like $1,000 a week, just giving your pick?
Yeah, some people subscribe for like a several week package. Like I was offering 7 weeks for 30% off, which came to $270 for 7 weeks.
And then what are your what are your odds so far with the VIP picks? Like how many times have you won versus lost?
So far this year we're up 25 grand.
Oh, but not with the picks. Oh, with the picks?
Yeah.
Wow. What do you think, Greg?
I think we just gave him a free commercial for some bullshit.
Money Right Fight Club.
Fucking bullshit.
It's called Monday Night Fight Club?
Money Right Fight Club.
Money Right
Fight Club.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, man. You know, I would listen to you, too, if I were, just, you know.
Go on my Twitter.
Money to waste. And
no, here's what I listen to them. When it comes to certain fighters.
It seems like the biggest gamble is paying that $55 a week.
There's tickets I posted on my Twitter from when I was in Vegas a few weeks ago. I hit a $100 parlay that paid several thousand dollars.
Wow,
that's great, man. No, well, you know your shit. Hey? We all know.
Yeah, but I would only bet with. I know he does know his shit most of the time. But here's one I wouldn't bet. I would bet on him when it comes to Long Island guys because he's friends with Aljamain and all those guys. So he knows how they're training.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So he has the inside scoop. He's kind of like he's kind of a gym rat when it comes to that, right? You like hang out with those guys. Didn't you live with Ally Quinta for a while or Aljamain?
Yeah, I was with them for a few months.
Did they know?
Towards the end, they found out. Then I had to figure out the plans.
He's living in an air duct.
You have that like Stephen Wright character in Half Baked.
Yeah, he sleeps on the couch, and they're like, "Who is that?" Like, he was here when we got the house. So, landlord said we get $200 off a month, and we let him sleep there.
So funny, man. Yeah, you're next level, man. You're crazy. All right, so
I think he's definitely not betting Gastelum. That's what I think.
Well. I know. A lot of people aren't betting Gastelum.
I don't think he can.
What?
I mean, even with the money advantage, I mean...
We don't know if this other guy can wrestle, you know, and for the most part, he can't wrestle. And Gastelum's a good wrestler, and he's got good boxing, and he's also...
Is Gastelum going to make weight?
It's fighting up a weight class. It's at 89...
It doesn't matter. The guy seems to be able to out-eat any weight class.
And is he going to try to wrestle?
So like
though?
You move the line, and he moves the line.
No, it'd be funny. Like I used to watch those. Like, ever watch ECW wrestling? It was back. Like it was only legal in New York and Philly,
right?
And it was like crazy. It was like beginning of like guys. The audience would bring frying pans and give it to the wrestlers. They hit each other with frying pans. And there was a guy walking to the ring one day, and there was a guy in the crowd with like a wooden arm, but you didn't know that. So the guy grabbed the guy's arm while walking to the ring, and they're like, "Oh my God, it's the one-armed man!" Like, it was like I was stonewall watching. They should do that with Gastelum. Like, he should have people's like food, and he walks. Like, I should set it up.
Just I'm eating
a cheeseburger
and he's pie. Yeah. Just so I can take some piece of pie and shove it in his mouth on the way to the ring. that would be an iconic moment.
Yeah.
Not in a good way.
Oh, come on. That'd be awesome. That would be
yes,
awesome.
Yes, it would be awesome for us.
Of course. Yeah, but come on.
Suck for him.
It's entertainment, though.
Yeah, but it's entertainment in ECW. This is actual fighting.
I remember when he actually missed weight against Cowboy in the MSG, and I called him up, and they canceled the fight. And I called him up. I'm like, "Hope you're okay." And he's like, he was like really depressed. I had to call from like a block number.
Yeah, Madison Square Garden's a big fucking deal.
Yeah. And we're talking.
Not as big as that fucking three-piece from Popeye's.
What happened was he was going to fight in the Big Apple, and he got scared because it was an apple. And
because it was healthy.
Yeah, of course. Okay. So I called him up, and I'm like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, and his mom came. His mom started yelling at him for missing weight.
Well, yeah, she's counting on that money too.
This is funny, like when you think of these guys, like parents.
She tells all her friends, the whole family's getting together to watch the fight.
They're Mexicans, they all pile in. And
totally,
like,
they're all in one little two-bedroom apartment, ready to see that shit, and fucking, and yeah. He doesn't make weight, and then they cancel the fight, which I guess is that Cerrone's call? I mean.
Well, I think what happened was he took a short-term fight, notice after that, against like Tim Kennedy, and then beat the shit out of Tim Kennedy. And they were like, Tim Kennedy's like, "I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going to humble this kid." And they were like, Joe Rogan was like, "Yeah, Tim really wants to teach him a lesson." And then Calvin just beat the living shit out of him.
You really think that Calvin's going to take him to the ground? You're really sold out on this game plan.
I think it's his best game. Of course, he has to.
But when is I can't think of, I don't remember, I don't think of him as a wrestler.
Against Uriah Hall, he wrestled, but he's an Eddie Bravo black belt.
Okay.
And he's also, he was a state champ wrestler.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, he wrestled
so
in college.
So he does have a wrestling background.
Yeah. He just fell in love with his boxing lately. That's the thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Cause I'm like trying to think, I'm like, I can't remember ever seeing him wrestle really. So, I mean, that's not what I think of when I think of Gaslam. I think of, you know, obviously, cake.
Yeah.
And also, you know, throwing punches.
First time I hung out with him was in Vegas, and it was me, him, and like his boys from home. And you forget how young these guys are until you see their friends.
Right.
You know how, like,
yeah.
Because you know how, like when you see these guys, like, you know, the fighters, you put them on a pedestal. You're like, oh, yeah. That's whatever. It was like that with what's his name? Sean O'Malley, the stoner guy who has like a. He's like an afro. He's undefeated.
Okay.
He came to my show in Arizona, and his friends looked like they were like in Glee. Like they looked like they were like 15 years old. Yeah. And I was like, when I was looking at him amongst his friends, I'm like, oh, this is a 21-year-old kid.
Yeah, he's a kid. Yeah.
But when you see athletes like that, you don't look at them as kids. You know,
right.
I don't, at least until I see their out of shape friends. You're like, oh shit. So, yeah. So by the way, we had what's her name on your podcast said that you tricked her, Caitlin Kukagin. Kukagin?
What's that?
Caitlin Kukagin?
What do you mean tricked her? What are you talking about?
You said you told her that all these fighters were doing comedy.
Well, yeah, they backed out. It's
and then she
fault.
Shows up and she's the only one who did comedy that
yeah,
night.
Yeah, they got scared and they backed out. Aljo pretended to be asleep so he'd stay home. He didn't come to the show. He slept through it. And then Al, he went to corner his friend in Bellator.
So funny.
And the show. Yeah, everyone just backed out. She was the only fighter that ended up doing it.
By the way, CB can't come tonight because he's painting his tattoo parlor. Mm. I can only imagine that what that's going to look like.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, it's just going to say Mystic Mac. There's going to be 14. You ever seen like a belt that's all like skeleton heads? It's going to be like that, but all Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I wonder, dude, another guy is suing Conor McGregor now for punching him in a bar in Ireland.
Whoa. Why not?
It's just. First fight he won in 3 years, but yeah, it's like
boom roasted.
McGregor, like,
talking about moving the bar, we really lowered it on that one.
He's got to get back into he's got to get back into the cage. It's like, what is going on? It's just like one girl says that
he retired, got accused of something, then he unretired like 3 days later.
It was like he retired on the same day that news came out.
Right.
It was a little fishy.
Yeah.
One woman accused him of not paying child support, having an out of wedlock out of wedlock child and has a picture of like him finger banging her and then wearing her shirt. She's wearing his shirt the next day.
Whoa. Listen, I got to tell you, if I were Connor, I'd have babies all over the planet.
Would you?
Oh, my God, yes.
Well, Alex Oliveira, Cowboy Oliveira, has 7 kids with 6 different women.
That's how you do it.
And they all live in the same block.
And you got to know they're all jealous of the 2-child chick. Like, she was, like, she's the hot one. She's like, really? He gave me 2? He came here twice.
What if it was twins, though?
You know? That would change the game. But, I'm going to assume it's 2 different, that she's the 2 baby chick.
7 kids with 6 different women. That's, and they all live in the same block in Brazil.
Good for him.
Is it good for him?
Did he move them into that block, though? He may have just brought them all together so they could be close to him.
Or he's the laziest.
He's basically got like a big love thing going down.
Or he's the best neighbor ever. He just fucking fucks everyone on the block.
Maybe so, but is that the best neighbor ever? Because otherwise, I think there's a few guys down there who disagree.
He's a farmer, I think. So they're like
is
farm
really?
Girls or something?
No, really?
Yeah.
No.
All right, guys. I got to talk to you about CBDMD, all right? CBDMD is USA grade A premium CBD. Okay, it's organic, it's grown in the US, processed in the US, non-GMO, gluten-free, and vegan. They sent me a box of this stuff. I've been taking these CBD gummies. Oh, it's amazing. I feel so relaxed, less anxious. They have CBD dog treats I give to my dog. He's been more relaxed than ever. And when he's excited, he's happy. He's jumping around like Air Bud, all right? And CBD helps support or achieve relief from a multitude of everyday ailments, including stress, anxiety, inflammation, and sleeplessness, okay? They only use 100% organic hemp grown, and they process at their farms and facility in the U.S. It's gluten-free, vegan certified, okay? And their CBD oil tincture drops are also non-GMO. They use a broad spectrum CBD extractions through independent third-party laboratories to guarantee the highest of standards. CBDMD is committed to providing the best in CBDs. They stand behind this, okay? They got an easy-to-use service. It's free shipping, satisfaction guarantee, and U.S.-based customer service, all right? In addition to the natural flavor option, they offer a variety of all-natural, award-winning flavors, mint, orange, and berry. And each variety provides just a hint of flavor to leave your taste buds satisfied. And their comprehensive line of products includes not only, but gummy bears, which is what I take, capsules, an all-natural sleep aid, topicals, bath bombs. My wife loves the bath bombs, okay? And human-grade pet products and vape oils, all right? Now, they're offering a free, unique offer to our listeners over at MMA Roasted, okay? Go to www.cbdmd.com. Enter the code ROAST at checkout to get 20% off your order. I use this stuff, okay? Definitely check it out. Some exclusions apply. See the website for full details, all right? And these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, all right? The product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, okay? Check it out. Hope you enjoy. All right, so Eric Anders, Khalil Roundtree, who's the favorite on that one?
Eric Anders.
Okay, and what are you betting?
I'm not betting that fight, but I'd say Eric Anders is probably going to wrestle and win.
Alan Jouban, Dwight Grant, who's the favorite there?
It's a coin flip.
Who are you betting?
I'm not betting, but if I was, I'd go with Dwight Grant.
Come on, why?
My premium pick, if I had to pick,
because
my premium gold number 1,000. It's $1,000 to get my pick. But I'm going with
really?
Yeah.
No, okay, Gabe, this is Gabe Jr.?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. I also
all right, Gabe.
If anybody has any plasma, I'm very low on iron.
I'm kidding, I love you.
All right, Gabe Sr., Boston Salmon versus Khalid Taha.
Is it Boston Salmon? Is it wild or farmed?
All right, so sick to the edgy, dirty jokes. By the way, Gabe is a great comic. For the record.
But I was thinking the same thing. Like, is this a real name?
Yeah. Bilal Muhammad versus Curtis Millender.
That's a tough one, man. The odds are Bilal's.
Isn't Millender coming off a loss?
Yeah, he got killed.
They both are.
Right. Yeah.
But Bilal's fight was incredible, though. Millender just got taken down and just. beaten.
Yeah, I'm picking Bilal on that one. I think he could do the same. I think he could take him down and get a submission if he tries to.
That's my $1,000 gold pick. You could write, you could put that on a...
free play, Bilal Muhammad.
Well, all right.
Free play. That's your free play of the day.
Is that?
That's great.
Now, I like Bilal a lot, by the way. Bilal's a good dude.
Yeah.
He happens to be a really good dude. He went to law school. Like,
I don't know him personally. I'm just agreeing with you because I usually do.
Yeah.
I've seen him fight, and I think he's a good fighter.
He's actually really funny, too, man.
Yeah, yeah. Right? So Kira Magwai, Kira is fighting Angela Magana. She's back.
Okay.
Magana.
Yeah, I like Magana.
She hasn't won in like 8 years.
Sounds good.
She's fighting this little cute girl.
You've had her on the show, though, like a couple times.
Plenty of times, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
She was training for the Olympics in Puerto Rico.
That's right.
Wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think she did pretty good. But, I mean, she didn't make the team, but she did pretty good.
It's a big island.
Fighting Kira Batera.
It's a big island. A lot of competition in women's wrestling on that island.
Yeah.
There's no more minor leagues. You can't make the women's wrestling team on a fucking island.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, but listen, I'm not taking anything away from you.
A couple hurricanes.
It's way better than I could ever do. So, you know, you're definitely you probably kick my ass, certainly. But
that's
the team you should have made. So.
It's like, you're right. I mean,
she's a pro fighter. Yeah. She was already a professional fighter. Like, I don't know.
Wrestling's different.
It is wrestling different, especially when it's pure wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a different thing. But again, women's on an island.
So her and Kira Batera are fighting in Combate. Are you going to it?
I don't know about it.
It's in L.A. next Friday night. You don't want to go to it? On the 26th.
I'll be in Vegas. Wait, the 26th?
Yeah, 26th.
Oh, I could be here. I'm here for that.
You want to go to Combate?
Yeah, let's go to Combate.
Yeah?
Can I tell you, that sounds like a really shitty like version of a Bloody Mary made by like Coors. Are you up early to watch the fights? Enjoy a new Combate.
It does kind of. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's a fight in a can.
So Artem Lobov says that bare knuckle boxing is a lot safer than MMA, boxing, or NFL.
What the fuck?
Because you don't hit as hard because you'll break your hand.
I saw him swinging pretty damn hard. I don't know.
I don't know about that. I mean, I
said this Artem Lobov?
Yeah, the guy that just got hit in the head 7,000 times last Saturday.
And he's like, it's David.
But did you see their faces afterwards?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Were they just hamburger meat?
Dude, it was next level.
And didn't he knock out his previous opponent?
I don't want it.
Who?
To be in the middle.
Artem?
No, not. This was his first.
Oh, I thought it was the second.
This is his first bare knuckle boxing fight.
Okay, we got to.
Hey, easy, guys. Maybe bringing your dog wasn't the best idea. Okay, so.
Can you put your dog in the car?
So, yeah, this was him after the fight. This is him after the fight.
Put the windows down. Oh, yes, I did. Oh,
yeah.
And he's like, so safe. So safe. Mom says safety first.
So he's fighting Paulie Malignaggi next.
If you look at me, this is actually minimum amount of damage according to Russian regulation.
So we have Artem Lobov on the phone right now.
Yes.
Lobov, how are you?
I am very good. Thank you for having me to be on your show.
Congrats on beating Hick Diaz.
Thank you. It was a real challenge. You know, it is much safer.
Yes.
In the bare knuckle boxing than all the other sport combined.
But your face looks like a mess.
Yes, but this is how I look normally. Believe it or not, I arrived looking like this.
Really?
This is how I sleep.
But before the fight, you did not look like that at all.
I'm a very restless sleeper. I have restless leg syndrome. It's a lot of high kick to my own face all night long.
Now, you're fighting Paulie Malignaggi. They're saying it's going to be June 22nd, I think.
That's right. Very safe. Safety first. Number one, be safe.
Now, how do you think you're going to do against Paulie?
Very good. It's a safe sport. I will pre-kick my face many times. He will not be able to hit me. So when he does, you'll be like, oh, it's okay. He's already cut there.
Yeah.
He already made this cut. So, very safe.
Now, Paulie Malignaggi is a world-class boxer, though. Aren't you kind of worried that, you know, you're a tough guy, you're a strong guy, but you're not a world-class boxer?
Well, the good thing about this is, by the time you make it to this league, you're not so world-class no more, you know? You're more or less
trying not to have job at Costco.
Right, right.
So I am not so afraid. Plus, you know, without the glove, very safe.
But you think bare knuckle boxing safer than like bowling? Or?
Yes, much safer than bowling. Those balls hurt.
Then tennis?
I don't know how you do it here, but in Russia, someone has to be the pins. Okay. And that is much more dangerous.
Somebody has to be the pins?
Yes.
They just
the
bowl?
Pins are regular people.
Wow. All
you
right.
throw the ball overhand style. It's a little different.
Now, it does seem what they're trying to do is get Conor McGregor into bare knuckle boxing. So it seems like what they're trying to do is have Paulie beat you and then Conor avenge your loss by fighting Paulie Malignaggi in bare knuckle boxing. Was that what you think is going to happen?
This will never happen.
Why is that?
Because... I will never lose.
Never, but you've lost 15 times before.
I don't remember this because it's a very safe sport.
Right.
And so they make sure that every time I fight, it's a win.
Okay, well, good luck. Artem Lobov, thanks for being on the show.
Of course, I'm here to help with all of your self-punching needs.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Bare knuckle boxing. People are saying it's sport of the future. I don't know. I don't know.
It's really, how can I say the sport of the future when it's really the sport of the past?
Yeah, that was the UFC before.
Before, yeah, exactly. This
yeah.
is like what they did before there was sanctions, you know, fights. They just put two guys in a pit and bare knuckle boxed.
It's just early UFC minus the grappling.
Now, people saying Chael Sonnen is going to fight Machida, Madison Square Garden for Bellator.
What year?
This year.
Because I can't wait for that in 2014.
No, 2004.
2004, yeah. Like what?
But yeah, no, it's actually a really good card. The card is actually really good.
Who else is on it?
I'll tell you there, Gabe.
Is it sponsored by a DeLorean?
Sponsored by Depends. So it's at MSG, Bellator.
Chael Sonnen's one of those guys I'm like, who's paying to watch him fight still?
He won his last couple fights.
Did he? I thought he lost his last couple of fights.
The last one was Fedor.
Oh, Fedor. He lost Fedor. But he beat Vanderlei at the Garden.
Yeah, again, Vanderlei showed up in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Really, like, I mean, come on. Does that count as a win? Or does that count as elder abuse?
I mean, he did have a, you know how they have a ramp? He had an actual ramp.
Yeah.
Like they lifted him up.
It had those little walking bars on them.
Hold on, let me see this. So Chael's going to fight at MSG, but the card is supposed to be good. I think it's Dylan Danis is on the card. He's a guy that wants to be McGregor. He's the jiu-jitsu guy. It's his jiu-jitsu coach. The guy that Khabib hopped out of the cage.
Yeah.
And that guy is always tweeting things like, I'm the greatest ever. All right, so Bellator.
Well, I guess we're gonna find out, aren't we?
Bellator 2. Well, he's only had one fight against a guy that was like 2-4, and he won. He wasn't looking that great. But it was his first fight. All right, so it's Machida versus Chael. It's in June. Madison Square Garden. Dylan Danis taking on Max Humphrey, who's 3-2. Also Bellator 222. All right, let's go. Neiman Gracie's on the card as well.
Okay.
I think he's fighting the winner of John Fitch.
Is he the one that like just had his recent debut and
he looked great. He beat a really good wrestler.
No, I like him. He did look really great.
Yeah.
Like I was like, well, he learned something. Shit, that Gracie name ain't no joke.
Yeah.
Because you were kind of wondering like, okay, when's this Gracie thing gonna run out of gas?
That other Gracie looked good too in the UFC Kron.
Kron looked great.
Yeah.
Kron looked really good. I mean, obviously they got some amazing bloodlines.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's in the family, but you're wondering if one of them is going to take it for granted. But that kid showed up.
Well, they're not as, I wouldn't say one-dimensional, but it seemed like the older Gracies were like, it's jiu-jitsu versus everything.
No matter what happens,
it's jiu-jitsu.
Absolutely.
And these guys are striking and hybrid.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they're more evolved.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of them have to be.
I mean, they saw, you know, Royce Gracie get beat up.
Well, I think a lot of the Gracies also don't like the current state of the UFC because they're like, well, this is not supposed to have rounds. It's not supposed to have time limits. Not supposed to have rules. Like the whole point was to show that jiu-jitsu could beat anything in the fight.
Right.
And these other rules are now hurting which I get and on a very pure. But at the same time, you have to evolve. And everything.
It's a real sport now.
And everything.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's going to stay and watch a four-hour fight.
I mean, that was back when it was live Street Fighter.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. But those old ones were awesome. When they were headbutting.
Some of that footage is fantastic.
When Mark Coleman was like headbutting people and then taking his thumb and putting it in your open wound.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that was next level.
How juiced was that guy, huh?
Oh, yeah. Or Mark Kerr was doing that. I mean, these guys were like, it was a fight. I don't blame them. I mean, teeth were getting, that's at bare knuckle boxing. Antonio Tarver was like, I think a tooth just came flying out.
Well, it is safer to just let your teeth get knocked the fuck out of your mouth. Jesus.
Speaking of which, Jason Knight's tooth came flying out, too.
That's what I just said. Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
I got to say, though, that is, you know, the draw. You know, that's the attraction. That's really what you're looking to see somebody get their fucking teeth knocked out.
I was watching it like a freak show. I wasn't really, like when I watch MMA, I'm like, man, this is really, there's a real science behind this. That's yeah. not a science behind bare knuckle boxing. But I'm still watching like the heel hook too. If I watch MMA, I'm like, that's amazing what he just did. There's a certain beautiful thing about the art of it. Even with boxing, with bare knuckle, it does have the feeling a little bit of like a strongman competition.
Yeah.
A tough guy from like back in the day, which is still fun, but I don't look at it the same way as I'm looking at mixed martial arts.
Yeah, it's more like watching a lunchroom brawl.
Yeah.
That war was a little too much, man. I would have preferred maybe like an early knockout or something. It would have been more easy to handle.
Well, the problem is with those guys is they don't punch, like Jason Knight, they punch hard, but not enough to like stop you, but enough to cut you. But not enough to put you out.
Ricardo Lamas knocked him out. I mean,
they also have chins, those two guys.
Ricardo Lamas.
Yeah. So this week, I can't wait for this week, though. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, all right. So Mike Perry got married.
That was fast.
He married his trainer, I think. I think they got back together.
Okay, I'm glad you said trainer. I didn't know what words were going to go.
He broke up with her
because maybe like second cousin, you know, third niece. Like I don't know what was about to come out of your mouth.
No, I think he married his,
and I'm like, oh God, what's it going to be? I was afraid he was going to do some Jerry Lee Lewis. Shit.
There's a guy I think that's like made for bare knuckle boxing. It's Mike Perry. But any guy with an eyebrow.
But he's been winning, though. I mean, did he lose the last one?
I think he lost the last two.
Did he win, like?
I think he lost the last two.
I think he lost, like, the last three out of four. He lost to Cerrone.
Right.
I think he lost the last three out of four.
Cerrone match.
He did beat Paul Felder, which was very impressive. But he's been losing a lot. But he's just funny. I mean, there was one commentary where the guy was like, so you've been hanging out with that guy, Violent Bob Ross, a lot. Are you guys best friends? And he's like, what, best friends? Your hair looks kind of friendly. Like, it's just basically like, what the fuck? I honestly, like, I love the fact there's no media training in MMA.
Yeah.
Like, no one tells these guys how to behave.
Right. They're all just making it up as they go.
It's the best.
Yeah.
As soon as they start becoming, like, NFL, like...
I think one of the saddest things is when they go for a big cheer line at the end of a fight and nobody cheers.
Really?
You know? Yeah. That's always kind of tragic. They're like, and that's right. And I'm... Duh. And then it's just kind of silent, and then like, you know, John Anik just, okay, well, great, that sounds great, we look forward to your next fight. Like,
the best way
that's always because you know they're going for the big, you know, rah! And then the audience just
when they want a reaction and the crowd doesn't respond.
And it happens a lot in MMA, and I think more in MMA, and I don't think it has anything to do with what they're saying isn't a rah-rah moment. I think it has to do with the fact that the fight's over and people like go to the bar and start doing all these other, like there's a lot of transition after the winner's announced, and I feel like just nobody's fucking paying attention.
Well, the best thing for them to do is go, hey, Arkansas, you guys rule, or something.
But even that sometimes just falls flat when they try and pander to the crowd. I did the best I could for you, Santa Fe. And then just nothing. And it's like, okay, you know, I'll be back, I guess.
Like, my favorite was when it's like a boring fight. And they're like, were you guys entertained? And everyone's like, no.
Right. Silence. Like, the grumble. He's like, what? What? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of... I mean, that's the thing. You got to give it to the, especially with the UFC crowd. They really aren't into, you know, they aren't going to just give it up to you for anything.
I hate when they go USA, though, because I'm always like, come on. I understand it, but I'm like, really? I thought diversity was our strength. I'm just like, I don't know. It just to me, it's like, I don't know. It's just annoying when people start saying USA. Cheer for the person. Don't cheer for the...
It's weird.
Well, if it's an international fight... I can see where you know what I mean? If they're fighting someone that's not an American, then, I mean, I think it's natural to be like, USA, especially when you're trying to encourage them. They're getting
I love the USA, but most of the time, the guy trains in the USA.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's weird when white guys fighting a non-white American.
Yeah, but that would be like USA. I'm like, this guy lives here. He like defected from Cuba.
Yeah, but we all saw the pre-fight package. He can't speak the language. So go back to your country.
This is so stupid.
So bad.
That's hilarious. All right, what else? I'm looking right to Ross Pearson retired.
I saw that and I couldn't have been happier.
About time.
I was like, "Yes, Ross, please retire." I mean, he's a great fighter. I'm a fan of Ross Pearson. Absolutely. But when you see him just get cut, so you know, like you see the paper mache that's left of his eyebrows, you're just like, "Dude, come on, man. Like it's time for your own, you know, to hang it up for your own health."
Yeah. By the way, so last week, did you see what
Tough
happened?
Nails on that kid.
You see, what's his name fought Shannon Rich?
No, I missed that.
Shannon Rich fought the guy with like the most fights ever. It was a combined of 455 fights.
Trump?
Shannon Rich, he just lost, and the guy's like known for throwing fights. Like he says he doesn't throw them, but like he had like 10 losses in a row by standing guillotine. He just walked right into the guy.
With his head out and his neck extended and his shoulders back.
Yeah. It was like, what is going on? So they fought in M1. Paige Van Zandt was the announcer. She was the one doing commentary. Frank Trigg was a judge. And Shannon Rich, whose record is 57 wins and 85 losses, lost to Travis Fulton. Travis Fulton's record is... Dakota Cochran won, who's the guy that used to do gay porn. While in college, and then he's a super nice guy. Now he's married with kids. He said he just did it for some money or something, but it was on The Ultimate Fighter.
I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah, I know, man. Seriously,
if I'm gonna do porn because I have to,
yeah,
I don't think I'm just gonna do the gay one.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna start options. In hetero or just not do porn. I think I gotta be honest with you when it comes. If I'm that broke and we're looking at these kind of choices, I got to put, okay, if I had to rank them, okay, first, straight porn.
Yes.
Second, recycling.
And then drug dealing or something.
Exactly. And then recycling? And then selling blood.
Like
going around getting garbage and recycling it.
Yeah.
Then giving blood.
Yep.
Okay.
Sperm. Sperm.
Gotta be in there. Sperm, if they would take it. No one's taking my sperm, dude. You have to be like Superman. You know what
we'll
I mean?
We'll pay
like,
you to not donate.
You have to be, oh, totally, exactly. I'll be like, we'll pay you to leave so no one thinks we're giving away your sperm here. Sir. Okay? I am the exact opposite of... This guy, Greg, he's 5'5", slow metabolism, beady eyes, and some college.
This is a cocaine, that's positive for cocaine in your sperm. Okay.
Cocaine, you know it. And then beneath all of that, and then beneath Wendy's, McDonald's, janitorial work, office janitorial work.
Yeah.
Is somewhere down there.
Flappers Comedy Club.
Flappers Comedy Contest.
Yeah.
And then I don't even think gay porn's even there. I think suicide is right before.
Yeah.
I think I throw myself off a building.
Well, he's a champ. He won.
Not that other guys can't do. I'm talking from me.
I'll try standing in front of 7-Eleven.
Dakota won. He's the M1 champion.
Right? I think panhandling is above.
Well, Dakota won. He's actually he hit a rear naked choke and he fought.
Maybe it's one of the yeah. There he is. Zing zang zow. Zing zow. Zing zing zow.
By the way, so this guy Travis Fulton fought. He has 255 wins, 54 losses, and 10 draws.
Jesus.
Yeah, this dude, and he's 41. Like he had 6 fights on the way to the this dude fought last week on Fight Pass. So
wow.
What's it going to take to get in the UFC, huh?
What's it take to get a shot here, guys?
He might have been in the UFC.
Yelling out to the crowd. 55 fights! Do I deserve a shot or what?
255.
All right, well, we'll take that into consideration. I know the big boss is watching right now. I'm John Anik. This is again, one of our lesser-known fight nights.
255 wins, 55 losses, 10 draws. Like, the average person has zero draws. He has 10.
Wow.
There's a rumor going on. By the way, I talked to Mayhem Miller last night.
I feel
night.
Like he's counting, like, going all the way back to, like, grade school fights. Like, how do you...
No, they're all on Sherdog. Like, he fought some guys like 6 times. And like if you...
What, like later? Like you, there was a, he'd fight him later at El Pollo Loco. He'd be like, that was bullshit, motherfucker. And then they fight again. Like,
you were the third and the eighth fight of the card.
Exactly.
I bet he beat a lot of guys with zero wins.
No, he beat a lot of really good guys, yeah? Travis Fulton. Look at, I mean, I can go through his record. You can see he's actually a really good fighter.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's still fighting. So there's a rumor going around that Chuck Liddell is fighting Tito Ortiz again.
Oh, God.
For Golden Boy Boxing.
Okay, can I tell you something? Yes. Okay. If I were one of those guys, gay porn would be just above this rematch. They'd be like, you guys want to fight each other again? Can I just suck a dick? I'll do it. You know what? I think if we figured out how you wind up in gay porn now.
Especially if they just fuck each other. How many people would buy that?
Not me. Would you buy that? What would be the odds?
Don't lie to me. You'd buy that.
Yeah, only on your VIP.
Super
only
VIP.
Only to talk about it.
Pick is going to be a... It's going to be a... It's VIP. I'm going with Chuck Liddell in a... mid-fight finger bang.
So Manny Pacquiao is fighting in Ryzen. I don't know why. Mayweather just fought.
I guess his political career is over.
No, they love him over there.
I know, but I mean, is he still in? What was he? He was in Congress or some parliament.
Yeah, he's yeah.
But is he still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
Because I thought he quit fighting to focus on that. It seems like you can't do both.
No, he's doing both. They love him over there. There's a rumor now that Diego Sanchez is fighting Chiesa next. That's a terrible matchup for Chiesa. I'm just reading the Underground,
for
by the
Chiesa?
Way.
For Chiesa?
Yeah.
Why?
For Diego.
Yeah.
How do you see Diego? I mean, I didn't think Diego was going to be, what's his name, though? Mickey Gall.
Yeah, but he's kind of like back, you know?
Well, like, he's like single again, I think.
Maybe that's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
I know anytime I've been single, I've had the best shows of my life because I want to score with somebody in that audience.
Yeah, but I heard his girlfriend is a smoke show. Like, I heard his, I guess single, I'm saying not married. And then Greg Hardy's fighting again. Yeah.
Kay.
Yes.
What a waste. That's so stupid.
Co-main event.
Did you watch Ronda Rousey?
He's not a good fighter. That's the thing. It's not like he had... It's like the entire time he was in the NFL, he was also training MMA. Like, he's like a six-month fucking...
Yeah.
You know? He's a behemoth. So they're throwing... I mean, he's got all kinds
of
power.
But he's at an American Top Team. By the way, so Travis Fulton, all right? Guys, he beat Sean and Rich.
You know why he's at America Top Team? Because if Greg Hardy walked into any place, you'd be like, yeah, sure, you could stay.
Yeah. I mean, he lost to Arlovski by head kick. That was in 2011. He lost to Jeff Monson. He lost to Rico Rodriguez. But he has beaten a lot of good guys. I can't see any right now.
What about that makes America Top Team be like, bring him over?
No, I'm talking about Travis Fulton.
Oh, Travis
not,
Fulton.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Greg Hardy was fighting in 2011?
No, I'm talking about...
I thought he was super recent.
Yeah. Back in... I can't... You have to keep... He beat Wes Sims in 2007. You know Wes Sims?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wes Sims was pretty good back in the day. He lost to Ben Rothwell. Yeah, he beat a lot of good guys, but I can't find any right now.
Hello, this is Isaac Valley Flag.
Yes, sir.
What's up? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Last time I saw you was in Vegas when I didn't even know who, I didn't recognize you, and you were like, what's up, man? And I'm like, do you want a picture or something? And then I realized it was you. Then I felt like a dick and went back, and I was like, yeah, I felt really bad about that.
You're real fucking special.
Yeah, sorry about that, brother. Sorry about that. How are you, man?
I'm good. Sitting around kind of trying not to get fat after the fight, you know?
Well, congrats on your, what are you 2-0 or 3-0 now in bare knuckle boxing?
2-0 bare knuckle boxing. I fought on that kind of the card that nobody got paid on, which was the first one, the same one Liebman was on, and then fought for the BKFC on Saturday.
Did you get paid for that card yet or no?
The first one?
Yeah.
Not getting paid. The BKFC was great. They paid everybody on time. They've been extremely professional. But the first one, the guy is going to for some sort of housing fraud back in Illinois, so we're not getting paid.
What did they tell you? How much you were going to get paid?
What's that?
How much did they tell you that you're going to get paid?
I wasn't one of the ungodly amounts, you know. I was in the low thousands, you know what I mean? you know, either way, it still wasn't great, you know?
Of course, man.
You know, I know some guys were out like Chris Lieben suing for $90,000, which is ridiculous, you know?
And then Phil Baroni. I mean, these are not rich people that could just, like, take on a bare-knuckle boxing fight, risk their lives, and then not get paid. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, you know, and the real bummer is, like, there's guys who took some, you know, bad cuts, you know? I mean, you're fighting bare-knuckle, and you get cut really easily, and they've got scars for the rest of their lives, and from that, they didn't get paid, and their doctor bills didn't get taken care of either, you know?
It's disgusting. It's so disgusting. Speaking of cuts, so I watched the whole event. I watched that last fight, Laba versus Jason Knight. I mean, are those scars going to go away, or is he going to be Chucky for life? I mean, seriously.
Man, I'm erring on the side of Chucky for life. I mean, that's if those go away, he needs to get a sponsorship from Moderna or something, because, I mean, there's some serious scarring he's going to have. And, I got little cuts, and I already got Moderna on him. I can't imagine what his face is going to look like even after the stitches are out and everything heals, you know?
Now, Labov is saying that it's safer than MMA and safer than boxing. I mean, you've done both. Which is safer?
So, my thing is this. So superficially, it's the worst-looking thing that you could possibly have, you know, because of the cuts, because you're going kind of bone on bone. But, you know, MMA, you're swinging knees and elbows at each other, and those are big bone areas as well. And you have padding on your gloves, which are there to protect your hands so you can throw harder. And I think the concussion stuff that I think you're going to see down the road, the brain injury stuff, is the worst stuff that's going to happen from the boxing and the MMA. This, you're just not going to win any beauty contest coming out of it, you know, with the bare knuckle stuff.
So as far as like headaches are concerned, do you have more headaches after bare knuckle boxing than in MMA, or vice versa?
I think more head injury stuff from MMA and boxing than you would from bare knuckle boxing. You know, you have to be a little bit more precise, and guys aren't throwing everything into their punches. At first, at least, I'm pretty sure Lobos and Jason Knight were throwing everything into their punches. But I wasn't pulling my punches by any means, but I also wasn't throwing full force into a lot of my stuff just because I'm trying to set up other stuff that I can maybe knock a guy out with. But not every punch is 100%, you know?
Now, how do you see Laba versus Paulie Malignaggi going?
That'll be interesting because, you know, Paulie's not a power puncher. You know, he's got, what, 7 knockouts in 44 fights, but he's accurate. And Loboff is tough, you know. I mean, he's a tough kid. And if he can take shots and get inside and work on the inside, it might be hard for Paulie. That being said, he's one of the greatest boxers ever, you know.
Well, no, he's not one of the best ever, but he's a great boxer.
Well, not ever. Right. He's a great boxer, though, and he's got a couple titles. I shouldn't have said ever. You're right.
Yeah, now I'm wondering how hard you got hit on Saturday night.
But... I guess kind of harder than I thought.
No, he is an excellent boxer, but I do wonder because he was never a power puncher. So I got.
He's a dancer, you know. I mean, he moves a lot, you know, and he's a point fighter, you know. He's a point boxer. So it'll be interesting to see what Artem's pressure is like and what Paulie does damage wise, dancing around, you know. Paulie says a lot about what his accuracy and his striking from his punches, or, you know, like how devastating his punches are going to be bare knuckle. But I don't know how devastating they're going to be, you know, or whether he, you know, Paulie's a flashy guy, whether he wants to, you know, Artem's not afraid to get in there and mix it up. And Paulie might be, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm looking really forward to it. I hope it's still legal by then. I know people are watching it going, how long is this going to last? I don't know. But I'll tell you what I didn't like was that promoter taking away half the guy's purse for running. I mean, come on. What is that?
Well, that guy also didn't make weight by 3 pounds. So I don't know how much of it was the running and how much of it was the guy didn't show up on weight, you know?
Right.
So I don't know anything about it, but about that stuff. But, you know, the guy, I mean, Rusty had a job to do, and that the first job is to make weight, and he didn't do that. And I'm sure he was docked for mostly because of that, you know?
Right, but they should have said that. It was sort of like he was just kind of – maybe he got caught up in the moment or whatever. Hold on one second. I'm going to answer the door. Now, I got to talk to you, Isaac, hello? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah. I got to talk to you because I was very worried about you, man. I've always liked you. I always thought you were a great guy, a stand-up guy, a solid fighter. And then I read that you were, like, going to rob a bank or something, and you got caught with, like, a Uzi or, like, a cannon outside of a bank.
I wasn't robbing banks. I wasn't doing any of that stuff. A lot of those charges got dropped. That being said, I did have a pretty serious addiction that started with some pain pills and turned into heroin down the road, you know? And I'm really grateful that I made it back from that. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't get the opportunity that I got to find some recovery, and I'm grateful that I got that. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I did that I wasn't proud of in my addiction, and it was stuff that I did that I needed to, that I at the time needed to do to get high. And I'm glad that I'm on the other side of that. You know.
Dude, it's crazy that bare knuckle boxing got you out of that. So that's pretty damn.
Well, I don't think it was bare knuckle boxing, but it was. You know, there was some work that went into it, and you know, honestly, that arrest was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me because it kind of forced me in a direction to find some recovery. You know.
Well, listen, I have close family members that have had addiction, and the same thing happened. They got hooked on painkillers. And the next thing you know, they were on heroin, like for real. And it's I think that's the worst epidemic in the country right now. And just giving people painkillers and then just taking them off of it is probably the most unsafe thing. And it's so greedy by the pharmaceutical reps to be doing this to people when they know what is in these oxys or in these, you know, stuff they're taking. And then all of a sudden say, hey, you're on your own. It's horrible what they're doing. Horrible.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, look, I was going to be an addict whether I found the opioids or not, but I think it's really, and thank goodness they're starting to crack down on a lot of the opioids and the way they're prescribed. You know, I got prescribed a whole ton of oxys for a surgery that I didn't need a whole ton of oxys for, you know, and kind of was kept on them for a while, and then when I got pulled off them because I was obviously showing signs of a problem, you know, like I was getting sick by then, and the next kind of natural way to go is, well, if there's no oxys, there's always heroin, you know, I don't know, like you said, this disease touches more people than I think a lot of people like to acknowledge, and it's something that in America that we need to start kind of addressing is the opioid problem, because you're hearing more and more about people that happening to them, or them not even making it off the painkillers and just dying from painkillers, you know?
1,000, yeah. I mean, well, I mean, look, deal. I mean, well, you got healthy. Now, how far are you away? Because when I heard that was happening and there was like, you had a gun on you. I don't know exactly, I guess the arrest, you had a gun on you and it was early, and you even said, you're like, oh, shit. Like, you even, I think in, like, the police report, you were like, yep, this is not good or something. Were you looking at serious jail time?
Yeah, I was looking at very serious jail time. I had 9 different charges, and 8 of them were felonies, and I was looking at, like, over 20 years in prison for, you know, So a lot of it, like I had guns on me that I had started to build ARs and stuff like that, and I still, you know, if I was legally allowed to have guns, I still like to tinker with stuff, you know. So I had like a silencer on me that I wasn't supposed to have that could have went federal. You know, I had a lot of stuff, and I had like tools on me for burglary and stuff like that. You know, things were just not going good in my life, and so some of the stuff was not true, because they try to throw everything at you at first, right? And then I had 7 of the 9 charges dismissed, and then a couple of them held over, and I've got a second chance with the legal stuff, because they put me in a program that as long as I complete it, all that stuff goes away, you know, like the arrest, it's gone, everything's gone, you know, like by doing some stuff that I was doing, you know, got given a second chance at my life. And I'm not looking at that as like a, a small thing, you know. I'm really kind of trying to take advantage of what's been given to me and really run with it, you know.
Well, I'm really proud of you. How hard was it? Now, are you still married, or were you married? Or
oh yeah, yeah. You know, I got very lucky. My wife dropped me off at this treatment center and was kind of like, you know, going to divorce me, and she saw, but you know, luckily she saw me starting to change and has stuck with me through all this stuff. You know, I've had some, you know, I've lost friends over it, which is understandable. And I've had some good friends stick with me too. You know, Cub and Clay, have been really supportive through this. Joe Stevenson, I've had a lot of support through it, you know, but I've also kind of burnt some bridges, which is totally, you know, I get it. Like, people separate themselves from that kind of a thing. It's a scary deal, you know, and I did some shitty stuff. I mean, you know, I wish I could sit here and say I was a complete angel, but that would be, I'd be lying to you, you know?
Look, man, I mean, addiction's, you know, the addiction is really, really tough, and people do things that they never would do. Now, as far as, do you have kids or no?
Yeah, well, my wife has a kid, you know, and she's essentially, you know, my daughter, you know, she is my daughter, just not by birth, you know, so, you know, I've got really lucky that we've worked through a lot of stuff, and my wife's been very patient with the recovery process and watching me kind of get better, because I think she's a good woman, because a lot of people might not have stuck through there, all that stuff, because addiction is scary, and you don't know, I mean, you know, we don't have the best odds. Addicts really don't have the best odds. Like, we have a odds for us staying sober is bad, you know? And so, you know, I've been really, really lucky with my wife that she decided to stick through it with me.
Yeah. Now, by the way, there's a little cracking on your phone. Is there any way you can a little bit go into a different room, or is there a better connection somewhere?
Sorry, well, I missed that.
Yeah, there was a little cracking on, like, your phone. Is, like, the window open down, or is it windy, or just cracky or something?
No, it's just shitty connection. Sorry, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, much better now. Much better now. Okay. Now, how was it as far as Jackson Winklejohn? Were they able to stay with you and, like, stick by you and help you out?
No, you know, that was one of the bridges that, you know, I might have burned some bridges there. I'm not really sure. I still need to go back and talk to some of those guys. And some of the people from Jackson Wink I've talked to, and they've been great. And I need to eventually go back and make some amends to some of the coaches and stuff. You know, Albuquerque is not a big town, and people start hearing things and you start doing things and people associate with you with the place, and it kind of ends up being kind of a raw deal, you know? So that's one of the things one of the bridges I might have burned that really bumps me out, because, you know, I care about everybody back at that gym.
Well, listen, you know, look, if those guys can forgive Diego Sanchez, they can forgive you. Now, as far as bare knuckle boxing is concerned, like, I always thought of you as like a grappler, like a wrestler, a grinder, but now you're just knocking people out left in one round. Like, where do these bare knuckle boxing skills come from?
I've always liked to stand up and trade more than I have be on the ground. You know, I started on the ground, but I like to stand and trade, and I know I got a chin. So, you know, a lot of this stuff, honestly, the whole clarity thing and like the whole being able to focus again, cause I'm not on a ton of stuff is awesome. You know, you know, I'm so focused on everything I'm doing, not just the bare knuckle boxing, but I mean, like, the sobriety stuff helps with that too. You know, I'm really focused on what I'm doing, and I'm learning faster. You know, like, you can give more, like, kind of 110% to everything instead of worrying about everything else in your life and then trying to fight on top of it, you know?
Now, how do you train for bare knuckle boxing? I mean, do you sit there and just punch a wall?
Yeah, it's just wall punching, and then we bring in small kids and beat them up for making sure we know how to knock people out, you know?
So John Dotson's screwed.
It's boxing and clinch work, you know? I mean, it's really similar to you know, I work with a lot of, I got a great boxing coach and a great kickboxing coach, and we work a lot of clinch stuff and a lot of just boxing. And, you know, New Mexico is known for its boxers and its fighters, so there's not a shortage of training partners and sparring partners here. You know, we have some ex-world champions that I've got to spar with. We've got guys who are, like, high-level pros that I get to work with. And I mean, really, it's no different than boxing, and that's the one thing I want to keep showing is how my boxing is improving, and hopefully I do that every fight when I knock people out, you know?
Now, I heard that you knew that you were at rock bottom when John Jones called you and said you have a drug problem. Is there any truth to that or no?
I wish there was. That's pretty good. No, I wish.
Okay.
You know, Johnny's a great dude, but, you know, and it sounds like he's really pulling his stuff back together, too.
Now, are you going to go back to MMA, or are you just strictly bare-knuckle boxing from here on out?
You know, right now I'm enjoying the bare-knuckle boxing. It's easier on my back. It's kind of more of an old guy sport, I feel like. Some of us older guys who have been around the sport for a little bit, like, I don't have to worry about anything except for punches. You know, that's a lot easier for me. It's lazier for me, which I dig. Anything that I can be lazier with, I'm into.
And how's the pay compared to the UFC?
It's a brand new sport. So, and Feldman is taking care of us, you know, but it's a brand new sport. So, you know, hopefully the pay will be there in a couple of years, you know, that being said, they Dave Feldman does take care of us as fighters.
Like that one girl that came in with the Hillary Clinton is a cunt shirt. Oh my God. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. You know, that to me was, I don't know, really random. I'm not a, I kind of sit a little bit left of center on the politics stuff, I'm not the biggest fan of Hillary, but Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
That was a,
I happen to like it.
I mean, use your platform for whatever you want to use it for, you know?
Did what's the name win, by the way? The big heavyweight that used to do all the funny memes. I didn't see his fight. That huge.
Chase Sherman?
Yeah. Did he win?
I think they went to a draw. I was getting stitched up in the back when they were fighting, I think.
Yeah.
I think they went to a draw. Shoot, I don't know. But he's a good dude. That was he's a nice guy to talk to. So.
No, I like it. I think Antonio Tarver does a good job. I think it's funny. I think it's cool. I wonder how long it's going to last. You know, because
I hope it sticks around, man. I think it's there's interest in it. The last one Rogan was talking about it, and Brendan Schaub and those guys, you know, and people, I think people want to see it. More and more commissions are picking it up. And you know, again, my thing is this is you know, you're a lot less liable to throw your hands as hard as you are or you possibly can than like if you're in the clinch and you can hit somebody in the head with an elbow, you know. I'd rather take some small fist to my face, you know, that somebody might break versus their elbow or their knee, you know, being on one side of it. I mean, I love to hit people with elbows because I can throw kind of reckless abandon into them and try to smash somebody's face with them, but I'm not going to do that the same or as hard with nothing on my knuckles, you know.
Did you train with Leonard Garcia for the fight?
I actually literally just got off the phone with Leonard right before you called, talking about his next fight, hopefully. And, you know, when he came up, when he was getting ready for Julian, we got to get some rounds in. He's going to come back in the town, it sounds like, and train up at Cowboys, and we'll probably get some more training in. You know, the training is there with Leonard, which is cool. It's really nice to, you know, he's a good friend, so it's nice to see him enjoying this too and then doing it more and more. It's good to see some of these kind of old scrappers getting into it.
No, I like it, man. Isaac, I think that I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you came out. I was worried. I texted you. You didn't text me back, but that's okay. But I was probably
busy. I was probably busy sitting in a jail cell or something.
Yeah, but I was worried about you, man. And I'm happy that you're okay. And I'm happy you're doing good. And
well, I appreciate
it. I like it. I like it. I like this story. I think there's like a movie here somewhere, a Lifetime movie, an MMA fighter who gets hooked on pills and drugs, and now goes into bare knuckle boxing and is just knocking everyone out.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, hopefully. You know, hopefully I just, my big hope is that I just stay clean. You know, it's a day at a time kind of thing. And hopefully I just stay clean and, whatever happens with that, is great, you know, and it's cool. Again, I've hooked up and got to talk to some other fighters who kind of went through similar stuff. So this is cool to hear. I mean, it's prevalent in the fighting community. I don't think it gets talked about enough, you know?
Well, yeah, no, I know. There's another fighter out who trains over at Rufus Sport. He's from Queens.
Yeah. Jared Gordon.
Yeah,
he's a guy who we talked a good amount. You know, I celebrated a year recently of being clean, and it was cool to be able to hit him up and tell him about that and kind of relate to him like one addict to another and then one fighter to another, you know?
Yeah, he's a really good dude. He's a really good dude.
Yeah, he is, man.
Well,
very solid dude. He's got, man, talk about low bottoms. That dude's he's a low bottom dude, so it's cool to watch a guy like that turn or get everything back together also, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, thank you for coming on the show. We're going to should be aired. We're going to post it tomorrow. Keep it up. If you need anything at all, man, give me a ring. All right? I'm here for you, brother.
All right, Adam. Thanks, man.
Take care, Isaac.
Good talking to you, Adam.
Always, always. Take care. All right, so what do you got coming up, Greg? What, your dog? Really? He's going to pee in our room, but that's okay. All right. He's really cute, isn't he? All right,
I think she looks just like your wife now.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, Gabe, what do you have coming up?
I'm going to be in Ottawa April 30th till May 3rd. I'm at Absolute Comedy Club.
Nice. There you go.
On the 30th and the Yuck Yucks on the 1st to the 3rd.
There you go. Who you with? By yourself?
I don't know who else is on it, but yeah.
Nice. There you go. And you bring your dog with you?
I want to. I'm planning on it. Hopefully I will.
My super deluxe VIP pick is a window seat to Ottawa.
Greg, what do you got coming up?
Funny enough, this weekend,
yes,
I will be in Cincinnati, I guess at the Improv, at the Cincinnati Improv.
Nice.
I'm opening up for Craig Robinson.
That's a great show.
So I'll be opening up for him all weekend.
Can Craig follow you?
Huh?
Can he follow you?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? That guy is pure talent.
But you're a monster.
No, but he plays the piano and obviously he's super famous and super hilarious. Like, I mean, we have a great time. And he's an amazing act. He's really super. I mean, what he could do, he's one of those guys that you don't realize how hard playing the piano is because he makes it look so easy.
There was a we had a show for my little cousin who was like super sick, has like a terrible disease with a bunch of kids. And Craig, when he's on The Office, went across town. Like drove like an hour out of his way to do a show for these kids for free.
Yeah, he's the best person.
Yeah.
I love being friends with him. I love working with him. I relish any opportunity to go perform with him. He's just a great guy, you know, and he's great to fans. He's great to everybody around him. He's one of those people that really knows how to be good famous.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You know?
Anything else coming up?
And then the week after that, I'm going to be in Vegas. For the Dirty at 12:30 on, I guess that's the 18th or 19th, nice. Whichever one the Friday is. Nice. And I'll be going to Aerosmith the night before at the park, the MGM Park or whatever it is.
Yes.
The Park Theater.
Yes.
So I'm excited for that little old school rock and roll, because I'm figuring this has got to be it. There can't be more Aerosmith tours in the bank. So
I love it.
So I'm looking forward to it. I've never seen them live, so it should be a lot of fun.
People, if you shop on Amazon.com, go to AdamHunter.com first, then click on Amazon, and then go shopping. I will be at the Long Beach Laugh Factory this Friday night, the Hollywood Laugh Factory this Saturday night at 10 o'clock, Boca Black Box Theater in Boca Raton, Florida, April 19th and 20th, Tommy T's May 2nd, Rancho Cordova, and then Gotham Comedy Club May 16th, and the West Side Comedy Club in New York City on May 17th and 18th. And fight week, I'll be at Las Vegas at the Stratosphere. Thank you guys so much. Take care. Bye bye. Trap songs and trap don'ts. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөрвөлэн. Дараа стоотан дөрвөлэн мөрөлэн.